Life Unrehearsed on CJD 800, brought to you by alavida.ca. Celebrate a life well lived before or after death.
Good afternoon. Welcome to Life Unrehearsed. This is a show about the ins and outs of family life. It might be about your kids, maybe yourselves, or even your parents. We cover it all. We tackle these topics, and we're going to navigate you through it all. We want to make sure you're not alone in all of this. And so my name is Matt Delvecchio. I specialize in free retirement home search and senior transition support. I'm here along with my co-host, Corey Sirota, clinical social worker and psychotherapist specializing in grief and loss. Hello, Corey.
Hey, Matt. Great to be here again.
Yeah, great to be here. We really do have a very exciting show. And on the first half, actually, are you concerned about a family member or maybe a friend that you think has an addiction or a substance abuse problem? Always sensitive, not sure how to approach it, you know, looking for answers. Well, we're very, very fortunate to have in studio with us Alan Farkas, National Director of Community Relations at Portage. And he's in studio with us to talk about addiction and what could be done about it. So, Corey, you're back from down south, still tanned, obviously putting lots of lotion.
trying to keep as long as possible.
Surviving the cold back here in Montreal.
Just barely.
Yeah, I guess.
Just barely, you know, and this hot, cold, it's making me a little bit crazy. Of course, I prefer the hot to the cold, but really trying to keep positive and avoid the winter blues.
Yeah, you know, speaking of winter blues, I have an article that we'll publish soon in the Suburban on this exact topic, or is beating the winter blues, you know. Mm-hmm. And some of the things, quick pointers in doing the research for this. This article was very, very interesting. Just a couple of real, I think some obvious ones, but we need to do more. Getting out.
Mm-hmm.
Just getting out.
Fair enough.
You know, whether that's just for a stroll around the block, maybe go see the grandkids, a hockey game or a ringette game, or even go out to a karate class. And sunlight or light in general is another big one. So sunlight, obviously, mm-hmm. If you can't get out, what they're even suggesting is bring chairs closer to windows and window. Oh. Open up the window coverings, open up the blinds, get some more sunlight. And there's a real big trend now on these light boxes, artificial light therapy it's called, and you get 30 minutes a day. You could buy these at pharmacies or Costco, and that's scientifically proven that it will do good for you. And other little things like staying connected. If you can't get outside, can you FaceTime or can you Skype the grandkids? And if you don't know how to do that technically wise, you know what? Get them over to the house. Bribe them.
bribery works.
Cash works. Treats, yeah. Food works. You know, yeah. Let them set you up and staying connected. It would be amazing when you have a little conversation with the kids or the family. And one of the other ones is volunteering. Mm-hmm. This time of year, tons of volunteers are required. In fact, with our guest Alan, we're going to be talking a little bit about volunteers. So there's a few little hints as to help beat the winter blues. We got another month or two, and next thing you know, we're going to be planting some plants in the garden.
Well, what great to look forward to that, but thank you. Really, that's such important suggestions for people who are feeling sort of stuck and isolated. Well, how helpful that is.
Thanks. And now, second half, Corey. Also,
well,
very
second half. Love this topic. Sort of, kind of. Do you have habits that drag you down? Are you the kind of person that wishes you could kick a habit like nail biting, cracking knuckles, talking with your mouth full? Not saying that I do any of those. Late night snacking, anything, some kind of habit, but even more so than that, even something like negative thoughts that swirl around your head day after day. Well, if you answered yes to any of those, we're going to be talking with Sherry Nash, and she's going to help us be habit-free. How cool is that?
Yeah,
so
no,
stay tuned.
A very appropriate timing. Can't wait to have Sherry on the second half. So yeah, let's get right into this. You know, this time of year, I think in particular, addictions, substance abuse, we see it on TV, but it's amazing how it hits home to many, many families. And addiction just isn't about an individual. It's about family members. Mm-hmm. It's about loved ones. It's about friends. And this is why we're really happy to have with us in studio Alan Farkas. He's National Director of Community Relations at Portage. Alan, thank you for joining us on Life Unrehearsed.
Thank you for having me today.
You know, Corey and I, when we were going over some of the questions, we have so much to ask you that's so interesting. But let's back it up a bit. And Alan, maybe you could tell us a little bit about Portage.
Portage has been in the Montreal community since 1973. It's a nonprofit organization that provides comprehensive drug addiction rehabilitation treatment to substance abuse dependent people. It offers a 6-month residential stay in the foothills of the Laurentians, followed by an 18-month aftercare recovery program. So when somebody comes into our treatment, they're coming in for a 2-year episode, 6 months residential and 18 months of support outside in the community.
Amazing.
Wow, that is so important, that to hear that it's not just a come in, come out, goodbye, thanks very much. I think it is the aftercare that is so important. You mentioned when someone comes in, is there an age, specific age group that you cater to?
No, we cater to a couple of different populations. Firstly, our adolescent programs, both in the Anglophone and Francophone community, 14 to 18 years old. And then our adult program, 18 to right up to the age of 60 years old. We also have a specialized program for mentally ill, chemically addicted patients with diagnosis of schizophrenic and drug addiction. And we also have another specialized program for mother and children, mothers that are pregnant or mothers that have given birth and have a child and need substance abuse treatment.
You know, it's interesting because we tend to think of maybe this is an adolescence issue, and you're bringing up a good point. This affects all ages, all brackets, all professions, and so important. If we want to focus a little bit more as a parent, Ricora, you and I are parents. We have, now grown-up teenagers. Yours are in your 20s, but I think there's a lot of parents out there that maybe concerned a little bit. And I think one of the questions that we had is what are some of the signs that parents should look for that maybe there's an issue?
I'm going to just name a few of them, and definitely change in friends and social activities, a change in sleep pattern, eating, possibly their hygiene has gone down, a change in attitude with family members, change in respect for rules in the house, money, alcohol, prescription medication missing in the house, difficulty with the law, continuous lies about who they're with or what they're doing, eye drops in their pockets,
wow,
rolling paper, or other drug paraphernalia. I mean, these are all red flags.
Fair enough. You really have to be aware, and it sounds like a tremendous long laundry list of things to look at. You're listening to Life Unrehearsed. I'm Corey Sirota with my co-host Matt Delvecchio, and we are talking with Alan Farkas, National Director of Community Relations at Portage, who is giving us some very, very important information that we probably don't like to talk about, but know we absolutely have to, which is around the whole topic of addictions, different types of addictions I'd like to talk about with you. What do you see at the center?
We see an array of different drugs and alcohol. So primarily with the adolescents, you see a mix of prescription drugs, marijuana, alcohol. More and more kids are taking Xanax and ADHD, Concerta, and other kind of pills like Adderall. That are pharmaceutical drugs, but they're exchanging these drugs and other kind of substances that are in pill form that are speed pills.
It's amazing because, you know, as we think when we're younger, you just rattle off a whole bunch of I would consider newer ones, and it's constantly evolving, and this must be one of the challenges for sure at Portage. Corey, I know you had a very interesting question that you wanted to tackle.
Absolutely. I think that we are all struggling with the question about if we know someone, or we think based on the list of risky behavior that you've seen, if you know a family or friend, what do you do? How do you recommend to someone if you're worried about them? So let's talk about that, but we'll do so after we go out to traffic. So now let's head out to the CJA Traffic Center for a traffic update.
Life Unrehearsed on CJAD 800, brought to you by Alavida.ca. Celebrate a life well lived before or after death.
They tried to make me go to rehab. I said no, no, no.
myself in black, but when I come back, no. Welcome back to Life Unrehearsed. I'm Corey Sirota, along with Matt DelVecchio, and we are talking with Alan Farkas. Talk about rehab. Alan Farkas, who's the National Director of Community Relations at Portage, which is a facility that deals with addictions and substance abuse. So welcome back to the show. Right before we went to traffic, I threw out a loaded question about what do we do when we know of a family or a friend, a family member or friend, and how do we approach them if we're worried? What do we say? Please help us.
It's not an easy process, but the first thing to do very calmly without blaming is trying to sit down with the individual and trying to show the individual what you see exhibiting from them. Most are receptive. Again, with adolescents, sometimes they get very defensive. They shut down. They become aggressive. So the first try isn't good. Mm-hmm. Sometimes with adolescents, you might have to reach out to people in the community, a social worker, a counselor, the family doctor, and try and do the approach from a different angle, because sometimes mom and dad are just not the right people to approach, or the kids aren't receptive to them.
Yeah, I think that's an excellent point. Mom and dad are moms and dads, and there could be sometimes conflict resolution, and they might not be on their best side of things. And I think, Alan, before you were mentioning, as an example at Portage, you were suggesting off air that you even kind of act as, even though it's a rehab center, the very, very first step could simply be just a conversation with a counselor or an advisor at Portage without making it to be the rehab center. These are just conversations. So can you, I think that's a great idea, because it's non-confrontational in a sense. It's more educational, I suppose.
So what we do, when many parents do call, and what we do is just an on-site intervention in our office or our satellite office in the West Island, is where the parents will come in with the adolescent and sometimes send the adolescent on their own, because sometimes they just need somebody that's receptive and more objective from the outside to look at the situation. And in some cases, you could do some social contracting with the family member or with the individual. And sometimes the alarms are bigger because they're at home, but you could kind of tame down the situation in one or two sessions, and then they don't need this 6-month residential stay.
True enough. That's true enough. So you talk about that. What are some other rehab options?
There's outpatient counseling. So it's going to see a professional, a social worker, a psychologist. There's outpatient treatment that's offered by Fosters, which is an Anglophone program that offers counseling Monday to Friday. There's hospital programs that offer individual counseling. There's psychiatrists that offer counseling.
So lots of options. I mean, Portage sort of, I would say, on the extreme side, it's a live-in rehab. But before that, there are so many other after-school programs, the weekday programs, weekend programs. Very encouraging to know. Let's say, Alan, that we do get into a position where, okay, Portage is the right solution. It's now live-in. By the way, how much does it cost?
There's no cost for Quebec residents.
Wow.
It's totally
incredible.
Free.
Wow.
You have to have a RAMQ Medicare card in your possession, and the costs are free.
So it is free. By the way, this is Alan Farkas from Portage. Matt DelVecchio here with Corey Sirota on Life Unrehearsed. We're in rehab now. What can family members do to support the person?
So one of the things that Portage is very strong about is that we like to involve the family as part of the treatment process. So every week we have family services, and we encourage the families to attend these information and sharing sessions, where one, they're learning what their loved one is living through therapy 7 days a week. Secondly, they get to discuss some of the situations that they lived before, and also they learn how to act and react with their loved one when their loved one returns back from treatment, not only at the completion, because during the course of the 6 months, they're attending what we call weekend outings, weekend passes. So they're coming back to the home, and parents need to know how to act instead of reacting, mm-hmm. and starting to learn the new way.
Well, fair enough. I love the idea. We spoke about it earlier that this addiction doesn't just happen to a person, it happens to a family. And so your comprehensive program really seems to address that. So I'm going to ask you a loaded question, and I don't know if you can answer it, but what would be, in quotations, your success rate?
Success rate, and many people ask it, and it is fully loaded, is you have to measure the individual, where the individual's coming from. Portage has been involved in a few different international and local studies and research, but one in our adolescent program, we offer school on-site, high school. Most kids that complete the program, a high percentage return back to high school to complete their high school. Our adult programs, with our aftercare component, we look at people reintegrating back into the workforce or going to another program that we have called MIR, where we reintegrate you back into society and kind of you finish the program by working at a Renault Depot or a Walmart or somewhere where you would have an income and a job.
It's incredible and very inspiring. That's Alan Farkas, National Director of Community Relations at Portage, talking to us about addictions and substance abuse and what we can do. You know, you talk about success rate, and we hear so many stories about maybe rehab was good, but then they fall back. And I think post-rehab is probably as important, if not more important, for families and friends to assist in that process, Alan. So what would you suggest to families, and if you know, someone's coming out of rehab, what can they do, anything to help make it successful?
The successful component is rehab is just a time and a period of a place where the individual's in a safe environment. The real program starts when they reintegrate back into society. Mm-hmm. That's where they need support, friendship, and positive energy and positive psychology to reinforce all the things that they learned. Unfortunately, one has to accept that relapse could be part of the process. Not for everybody, but there are individuals that have a hiccup. But as long as they could recognize the hiccup and move forward, that's a success in its own way.
It's so interesting. I actually want to flip it back to something around prevention. I don't know, because I'm all about prevention when I can be. And you had talked about some of the red flags. We're talking a lot about adolescence. Is there a typical age that you might see a child start to experiment?
In my own personal, I've interviewed people in the past, and they've started as young as 8 or 9 years old. Mm. When they give you the history, they're coming into the office at 12, 13, 14 years old, but their first experience that I could recall is 8 or 9 years old. On average, it's about 12 or 13 years old. This experimenting starts. They want to be independent. There's a big burst today in social media and a lot of, you know, challenges for adolescents today. So they're starting, for me, younger and younger.
Mm-hmm. It's amazing. It goes to show the importance of parenting at that point and to be aware. So, Alan, you've been really helpful. Thank you very much. Talk about helpful. On your website, you've got two buttons. I need help, but so that's obvious. I need help. Yeah. But you've got another one. I want to help. I found that very interesting. So could you just briefly explain what do you mean by I want to help?
Portage is has a foundation, and people that want to help in supporting the program financially, or there's a volunteer base for different activities that Portage hosts during the course of the year where people could reach out into the community and help out.
That's wonderful. And I know it's funded. Donations are always welcome. How can people, Alan, reach Portage?
So firstly, on the internet, www.portage.ca. Our Montreal number, which will give you all our services, 514-939-0202. And on our Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter.
Well, thank you so much for being with us, Alan. Really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thanks so much, Alan. Coming up after the news, we're going to hear from Sherry Nash about habits, why we have them and how to break them. So stay tuned for that. But first, let's head out to the CJAD newsroom.
Life Unrehearsed on CJAD 800, brought to you by Alavida.ca. Celebrate a life well lived before or after death. I'm addicted to you, babe. You're a
heart having to break. Welcome back to Life Unrehearsed, Hard Habit to Break. This is our topic on the second half. My name is Matt Delvecchio, specializing in free retirement home search and senior transition support, here with my co-host, Corey Sirota, social worker and psychotherapist specializing in grief and loss. Quite an interesting segment with Alan and Portage, and some
so
great advice, wasn't it?
Great advice, and it's free service. That's a big piece and very important to acknowledge, because I don't think people know.
Yeah, they and they're funded. I think 85% is funded by the government and then donations, so it's a great cause to donate to. You know, we're talking bad habits. Corey, you don't have any bad habits, do you?
Me? Me? Moi? Yeah, I mean, if I had to be honest, if there was one habit that I should eliminate, it would probably have to do with me connected to my cell phone. I'm a little, it's like a digital umbilical cord.
So when you respond in exactly 1.6 seconds at 2 in the morning.
Have you noticed?
Yes, Corey. I said, okay, maybe that might be a little bit of an issue.
Yeah, to the point, by the way, that my family has noticed. And I was in Florida last year, and I don't necessarily believe in karma, but this one, man, I took my cell phone, taking it to the beach, put it in a Ziploc bag so I would save it in case it got full of sand, put it in the bag, and my family watched. The bag had a hole. It fell to the floor on the ceramic tile and cracked and shattered. And I said, there's a message there.
It's a sign.
Yeah. Anyways, so that's mine. Right. I told you mine. You tell me yours.
Oh, boy. Do I have bad habits? You know what? I have one really bad habit. I got a bunch, but the one that I have to stop, I know I have to stop. I got a bad habit of believing the Montreal Canadiens are actually a good hockey team. They're killing me. You know, I think a lot of us out there have that bad habit. No, but you talk about electronics. I'm not proud of this, and I've mentioned this a couple times on the air. I've experienced the old iPhone face slap that we say. So in other words, you're in bed reading your Facebook and you doze off and the phone just clunks you in the head and wakes you up. Okay, guilty. Done that. I would say I always struggle with work-life balance. I might be on the workaholic side. Family members might say, yeah, Dad, you are a workaholic. So I struggle with that. I try to fight with that, and but yeah, maybe that would be a bad habit that I know I would like to
fair enough
on.
Acknowledgement is the first step, right? But here's the great news, that we have in studio someone who is here, who is the founder and creative director of Be Habit Free, and she is very proud to say that she's habit free herself. That's Sherry Nash. And so we're going to talk about this afternoon, we're going to talk about if you have a habit that's dragging you down, nail biting, too much junk food, chewing with your mouth open, talking with your mouth full, then we're probably not friends, because those that make me crazy, each and every one. But there are a number of habits that people, we know we have, late night snacking, for example, and or more so something like negative thoughts that swirl around your head day after day. Well, we have Sherry Nash in the house, and she's going to help us be habit free. So welcome to the show, Sherry.
Thanks, Corey. Nice to be here.
Welcome, Sherry. Matt.
So I want to begin by asking you something about the statement I just shared with everybody. You claim to be habit free. So what does that even mean, being habit free?
So first, I'd like to just to say that the definition in my world for a habit is something that we're doing unconsciously. So we're not bringing full awareness. When you bring full awareness to something that you do every day, such as brushing your teeth, now that's a darn good habit, people would say. Mm-hmm. But when you're doing it consciously, I'm suggesting that you say to yourself, this is a daily ritual or it's a daily practice. It's not a habit. So when you're going into these habits, you're completely in the subconscious or unconscious state and you're not fully aware. So it's a big part of what I do in my work is I help bring awareness to people, which can also be equated really to like an awakened state. People who are awakened, who are fully conscious, are dealing and going through life from that higher plane, right? You're aware of everything that you're doing. And so you don't fall into those automatic behaviors that are done from the subconscious.
You know, it's interesting, and I want some clarification because I think a lot of habits is people are uncomfortable. They know they're doing it, whether it's smoking, drinking, biting nails, cracking their knuckles. And so if I understand, you're saying that you're doing that, I would assume consciously, you know it's not right, but you're challenging that in a way, aren't you?
Well, in a way. So it starts when you go to, say, light up that cigarette or crack the knuckle or go to the cookie jar. That part is sort of this unconscious thing, but there's a reward attached to it. So the habit becomes this this loop of, well, if I go, then I'm going to feel better. Therefore, the reward is that maybe my dopamine, comfort foods, something starts to swirl in your body and you're getting that reward and you're saying, oh, okay, I feel better. But then your thoughts start kicking and you go, oh, that was bad. I shouldn't have had that cookie. I shouldn't have lit up that cigarette. I shouldn't have wished that the Habs would win.
Really wish. Yeah. And wishful thinking, I think.
That's right. Okay. You're listening to Life Unrehearsed. I'm Corey Sirota with my co-host Matt Delvecchio, and we are talking with Sherry Nash, the founder and creative director of Be Habit Free, and she's teaching us about why we have the habits we have, and as I'm learning, unconsciously, but there's a reward there. So that's, I guess, why people tend to keep the habits. Is that fair to say?
Exactly. Absolutely. Yeah, it becomes almost like the Pavlov's dogs, ring the bell, get the food. So you have to start bringing consciousness into what you're doing and seeing what you're doing and what you think about it. Now, maybe there's a lot of habits people have. They don't mind having them. Some people don't mind chewing with their mouth open. That's what they do, you see? So it's when you start becoming aware of your own state where it's coming from a state almost of unhappiness. Usually habits or things that we're going for are from a place of emptiness. So you're reaching for that extra glass of wine. You're reaching for that cookie. You're looking for something in your life because you have this emptiness. That's a big part of what my work does is I start going into the root cause. Mm-hmm. So it's much deeper. Usually just the outward habit is really not where it began. It began with this feeling of loneliness or emptiness. So I help people trying to start connection to community or to themselves, to their higher selves. There's a lot of people who are not connecting anymore in today's world. They've withdrawn from community, from the church, et cetera, et cetera. So they're kind of floundering a little bit. So they're looking for, something. Right? So that's what the habit is.
It's such an important point. As you're saying, it usually is much deeper than that. And I think you've got a great website, Sherry, and you talk a lot about self-judgment and your inner critic. There's a lot of guilt going on, and it's difficult to let go of that self-judgment. But I guess you see a lot of that in people with habits like that.
I do, absolutely. So a lot of the work I do is we start right at the beginning of who are you? What are your values? What are your dreams? Because most people will come in and they say, I don't even know who I am anymore. They've lost themselves along the way. They have no clue what their dreams are. They don't know what they're passionate about, never mind what they even like. So we start right at the beginning and say, okay, let's go back. What did you dream of? Da, 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 da. And then I bring them forward so that there's this evolution and you can see, their growth, right before you. So a big part of my work is joy, bringing in the joy. When you have joy, you automatically have less need to fill a void. Because you're already filled. You're filling up yourself, right?
This is so interesting. So what about those people that let habits rule their lives? Is this what's going on?
See, now, absolutely. There's a lot of people that choose to do that. I'm going to use my mom for a second. She passed away about 4 years ago. She was a big smoker and a drinker, and she was confined to a wheelchair. And she would say, Sherry, this is all I have. So this is what, she believed that there wasn't anything something more outside of that. But when you realize that there's a bigger community out there, or even your higher self, you don't need to have those types of habits.
Very interesting. So, you know, sure, I think a lot of us are asking, okay, where do we have to begin? What do we have to do to start breaking these habits? So we want it nice and simple, okay. And you're going to give us the magic answer,
absolutely,
the silver bullet. All right, we're going to first head out for a traffic update at the CJD Traffic Center.
Life Unrehearsed on CJD 800, brought to you by Alavida.ca. Celebrate a life well lived before or after death.
Little Waiting on the World to Change, John Mayer. Really a great song. Welcome back to Life Unrehearsed. Matt Delvecchio here, specializing in the senior transition support, here with Corey Sirota, and we have a fantastic guest trying to help us out here, Corey, and I think a whole heck of a lot of other people with some bad habits. Sherry Nash, founder and creative director of Be Habit Free. Sherry, thanks again for being with us. It's very, very informative. Just before traffic, you know, we talked about, I think people genuinely know sometimes there's habits, it's not healthy, you're sick and tired of doing what you're doing. There's negativity in your voice, but you keep doing it. You keep doing it. We know we keep doing it. We can't stop. Is there a magic solution, or can you help us with little steps? What can we do to start breaking these habits?
Absolutely. The first step would be bringing in awareness. So the thing with our brains is that we have a thought. A thought can't experience itself. It needs consciousness. The consciousness needs awareness. So all of that to say, you've got to go in, you've got to go bigger. You have to understand that you are bigger than the thought. So be the thinker, not the thought. So right away now you're bringing awareness. What is it you're doing? When I quit smoking back in 2009, how I did it was I brought full awareness to what I was doing every time I lit that cigarette. So my brain said, oh yeah, you need a cigarette. Mm-hmm. I would light it up and bring full attention to what I was doing. I would feel it going into my mouth, down my throat, into my stomach. It would burn and it would taste disgusting. So by bringing the full awareness to what you're doing, you're now out of that thought that said, oh, you must, oh, you want a cigarette. Oh, you just had it. You just ate. So, you know, light up. You are now the thinker. You're much stronger than what's happening with that thought. So that's the first thing, is I really help people bring in that awareness. The second step is, it's a little AVA, my AVA system, my three-step strategy. So the second one is visualizing. Visualizing yourself in the future without the habit, and then visualizing yourself continuing with the habit. Which one do you like? Right? So then there's a lot of power with the visualization of the future. Athletes use it, etc. Mm-hmm. So visualizing yourself that you're no longer, say, smoking, you no longer stink, you no longer have the yellow teeth, you no longer have, you're not risking your health anymore, you have a lot more money in the bank, etc., etc. So really building up that vision of what you want for yourself and connecting with it. And then the last step, of course, is the last A, which is accountability. Get yourself an accountability buddy. Mm-hmm. Get a coach, get a friend, get somebody that you can really trust, and not somebody who's going to end up just, you know, encouraging you. It's like, okay, well, if you light up, I'll light up. Or you have that glass of wine and I'll have that glass of wine. No, you got to find somebody that's really going to be in your corner and say, no, put it down. So I'm always available as a coach. I work with people that way through accountability. But so that's the AVA three-step system that can really help in short term.
Wow, you make it sound so simple.
Yeah, right?
And what I hear very strongly is you control your thoughts. Don't let your thoughts control you.
Exactly.
And in this process, of accountability, of visualization, these are all things that you control.
Exactly, exactly. Bringing yourself into that personal power. So many of us have given up our power thinking that we are that thought, but the thought is just the ego or this, you know, this crazy mind. But like I say, it can't experience itself. It needs you, the powerful you, mm-hmm, you know, to get on board. So yes, you can stop. You just have to tell yourself you can. Don't believe that little voice that says, oh, come on, light up. You know you want to. You know, don't believe in that. Step into that power and take full control.
You know, it's amazing. That's Sherry Nash, founder and creative director of Be Habit Free. After listening to you, I think a lot of us may at least be heading down that road of Habit Free. You know, AVA, love it. Awareness, visualize, accountability buddy. I think a lot of people can deal with the awareness. You've got to stick to it. Visualize. You can visualize. I think the most important part there is this accountability buddy. And it's probably not, it may or may not be a spouse or a family member, I guess, because you know what, that's borderline nagging sometimes, and you don't want someone nagging you. So to choose the right accountability buddy, I think could be crucial in sustaining breaking through these habits. Any besides a spouse or a family member, what other types of buddies should we be looking at?
Yeah, you're absolutely right, because you don't want to become the nag, right? Mm-hmm. Especially with spouses. Definitely, you know, hiring a coach, as I suggested. So there are a lot of great coaches out there, you know, looking for a friend that you create an agreement up front that this is how it's going to go down. Also having a friend that is maybe also trying to kick the same habit can be very helpful. There are other tools out there, I would imagine. I have my practice down in Beaconsfield, so people, I do a lot of stuff over the phone, as do a lot of other coaches. Mm-hmm. Keeping a tracker for yourself as well, you know, so you have a tracker yourself on the fridge or somewhere where it's visual, and you track each day that you've been habit-free. And then you don't beat yourself up when you do fall off the wagon.
Fair enough. I think that is such an important piece of this whole process. You're listening to Life Unrehearsed. I'm Corey Sirota with my co-host, Matt Delvecchio. And we are talking with Sherry Nash, who is the founder and creator of Be Habit Free. And she's teaching us how to understand our habits so that we can be habit free. I've always heard of things like crabs in a bucket, where there's a crab and the crab comes out and the other crabs pull them back. That's what I think of the wrong buddies, are those crabs in the bucket. So again, recognizing who is the right kind of buddy for you to look at.
Good point.
I think that you are sending out a message to people to really about consciousness. And is there any other suggestions that you would make?
Definitely, as you said, like, you know, the crabs in the bucket, being aware that you may have to make some adjustments in your personal life. You may have to change some friends up, you know, the ones that are going to the bar every weekend. Maybe, you know, you've got to start out with some new friends, new communities, new other new interests, taking some classes, maybe going to the gym, bringing in some of the good stuff into your life is certainly key.
OK, great. So those are another alternate. I want to thank you so much and ask you, how do people reach you if they want more information on this?
Excellent. Thank you. And thank you for having me here today. I have a website, sherrynash.com, which does have some of my upcoming events on there. I am going to be giving a workshop on January 23rd about visualizing, and I'll be doing a class on joy, an 8-week class. So you'll see some information on that site, and that site points you over to my Be Habit Free site, where I have some packages that are available, because certainly to be habit free, you need something a little bit longer than one or two appointments with me. So,
well, Sherry, thank you so much. Very, very informative. We appreciate you. Next week on our show, we're going to have Patty Shapiro. How about changing careers in your 40s, 50s, 60s? Going to be a very interesting topic. And Jody Zentner, would you believe adult ADHD is very much in existence, and you won't believe actually how many people do have it. And we're going to be talking about this intriguing topic. That's next week on Life Unrehearsed. You can catch us every Sunday at 4 p.m. Thank you so much for joining us. News shortly.